Hi guys, happy Choices Thursday. Thank you for making great choices and listening to Choices. I am your host, Christine Choi. Please remember to subscribe on iTunes so you never miss an episode. And also don't forget to rate and review to get your girls' podcast on the map. You can find Choices on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, Radio Public, and of course, Audioboom. Make sure to email me at choicespodcast@gmail.com with any questions of feedback as well as letters or voice memos for the advice segment. Today, my guest is a special lady named Nicole Arce. She's talking to me from her beautiful apartment in San Francisco. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. Recovering from the dentist, so.
Yes. I know.
Here
so
I am.
She just had some dental work done, and she still came on to talk to me, you guys. So kudos, kudos, snaps. Okay, so Nick, let's talk about how we met.
So about 5 years ago, we met at a restaurant's hotel job. We had to do orientation, and we were both about 2 weeks into the job, I think.
We did not do orientation together. I was working there already.
Yeah, but you did orientation with me, and I remember this because you sat at my table. And one of the questions was, where do you see yourself in this company in the future? And you said, no offense to anyone, but I want to be a GM.
Sounds like me. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you were wearing like a cheetah or like leopard print top. And I was like, damn, this girl's super intense. Like, I was in my head, I was like, I wonder if I'm going to, like, get along with her. Because we had to work together,
oh my
you know?
God. How do you remember what I was wearing? That's so funny.
Because, like, the combination of your comment and your outfit was very intimidating. Like, I was like, wow.
Oh, that's so funny. I know exactly what shirt that is.
That's my first memory of really talking to you.
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, no, like, nothing personal. I'm just really competitive. And I was like, all right, well, me too.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I mean, we worked together, yeah, not even a year together, but we stayed friends.
Yeah.
And it was definitely like 7 years ago, Nick. It was like 2011, so definitely 7 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it really that long ago?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And what do you do for a living?
I work at a finance company located in San Francisco, and I am their office coordinator / executive assistant, admin assistant to the IT team.
Nice.
Yeah. I like my role because it kind of balances out. I work with all the people that do all the financial stuff. Supporting the IT team is really awesome because I just love them. Like, they're all unique and quirky, and like, I love that, you know, like, I'm totally a nerd. So like, every weekend I'm like, hey, are you guys going to go see the Avengers? Or are you going to go see Ready Player One?
How are we friends?
People are different. We don't have to be exactly the same.
Oh, that's so funny. I wanted to talk about what both of our most memorable moments or the funniest memory of each other is. I really hope it's not the same. You go first.
No, you go first, because I have actually two I thought about.
Okay, fine. Mine, this I think was your birthday 1 year when you had the pool party. And then everybody left and you and I were the only ones left. And and then we went out and got more drunk because that's a smart thing to do. And we got back home and you had forgotten your keys. And did we climb under?
I don't know what we were doing. Like, we were trying to climb under the gate.
Yeah.
And then didn't Kevin come out and was like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. Why didn't we just call him in the first place?
Yeah, so stupid. Because I think we were too drunk to call. Like, we couldn't figure out.
Oh my God. All right. Well, was that one of yours?
Well, that was one of the two.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay. What's the other one?
So mine's the moving truck
story. Oh my God.
Is it okay to talk about this?
Yeah.
So I don't even know what we were doing that day, but we were kind of randomly texting each other and you were moving something.
I was moving and I think I missed the time to drop off the truck. So that was like my car.
Okay. The plan was to just go eat, but we ended up getting food and then, you know, one drink leads to another.
And oh, God.
I mean, I don't feel like we drank a lot, but it was sufficient to, we shouldn't have been driving.
I definitely shouldn't have been driving.
So we decided to finally leave the place where we were at. So then we're driving back to my house and all of a sudden, and I just heard boom. And And yeah, you basically like knocked the mirror off of someone's car.
The mirror was off my truck.
Oh yeah.
And I hit a street sign.
Oh, that's even worse.
It is not worse because I didn't hit someone else's car.
But you hit public property.
I'm going to get arrested for this, I swear.
It's okay.
I just hope I don't get arrested for this.
You're not. This was like a long time ago. But anyway, yes. Okay, so that's my story because it was pretty such a stupid decision.
So stupid. Oh, that's so terrible. Gosh. All right. Whew, okay, well, with that said, let's go on to some games.
Okay. Uh-oh.
As mentioned before, these are in developmental stages, so I'm kind of switching things up here and there. Now, how the game goes. Basically, I'm going to drop the whole, if you were in high school, knowing what we know now part. It's just going to be, I'm going to give you a scenario, and you're going to tell me what do you do.
Okay.
Okay, so first question. You go on a first date with a guy, and he asks you if you can pay for the first date, and he'll get the next one. What do you do?
I guess if I didn't know the guy and like it was literally like almost kind of a blind date, I would say no.
Agree.
I would definitely say no because like one, I think it's I don't know. I don't want to sound like old fashioned or conservative, but I do think that like a guy should pay for the first date. It's just like the polite thing to do. And I think right off the bat, like trying to bargain like that with someone that you don't even know is really like tacky. It's just impolite. Like it just doesn't come across as a good thing at all to me.
And what the hell is this like next date?
Yeah. And how do you know he's actually going to go on another date with you?
Yeah.
And like after that comment, I wouldn't want to go on another date with that person.
Right.
Like, I would just be like, dude, like on so many levels, not attractive.
Yeah. Again, not to sound like kind of sexist. It's even weird when a guy first says, let's split it, right?
Yeah.
I would pretty much always offer.
Yeah, same here.
If they say yeah, then okay, that's fine. I offered it. But if they say it first or say you'll get this one and I'll get next. Yeah, I agree with you. That's a weird one.
Yeah, it is a weird one.
I'm sure there's people like that too. It's so crazy.
I mean, I'm sure we've seen it because we both like used to wait tables at restaurants. I mean, I have a good one if you want to hear it, but like.
Go for it.
There was this couple, this was back in the, it was my first waitressing job and I was like the person closing. So I got this super late table and it was like a younger couple and I thought they were together, but after a while I realized it was a first date. And so they're looking at the menu and every single thing that the girl would say looked good. Like she's like, oh my God, the lobster sounds amazing. And he'd be like, oh my God, you should get it. Oh, what about red wine with the lobster? Oh yeah, let's get that too. So anyway, they ended up ordering like the most expensive items on the menu. Their bill was like almost $300. Yeah. And it seemed like the date was going really well. Like they were really engaged. Like they seemed like they were laughing. And then the bill comes, right? I drop off the bill. And the guy like kind of like touches his pockets and goes, oh crap, I forgot my wallet. And she's like, oh no, are you serious? Like you don't have anything on you at all? And he's like, no, I'm so sorry. He's like,
oh my God.
Exactly pulled that shit. He was like, hey, well, you know, like how about you get this one and I'll get the next one, right? And I mean, at this point it was obvious that it was like a first date, right? And she's like, well, do you live nearby? Like, can you go and get your wallet? She's like, the bill's pretty expensive. It's a lot. I didn't realize that it was going to be this much. And he goes, well, I mean, that's like your fault. Like you ordered all that expensive stuff. And he was like, you should have at least assumed that you'd be paying 50-50. And then anyway, it turned into a big argument. And he ended up saying he was going to go get his wallet and come back. And he never came back.
Wow.
So this poor girl got stuck with like a $300 bill.
Wow.
Anyway, so yeah, it happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. You are between two jobs.
Okay.
One is a job in the field that you want to work in, but is really low paying. Probably would be barely making ends meet. Possibly would have to pick up a second gig. The other is a job you don't necessarily want to do, but pays very, very well. You don't really like your to-be boss. What do you do?
Well, this has kind of happened to me. I would take the lower paying job, you know, because I think if you want to accomplish your goals in life, you have to stick it out, you know, like you have to be willing to do whatever it takes. And sometimes whatever it takes is a step or two back, you know, and I mean, I'm speaking from experience here. Like, it's really hard. And yeah, you might get in debt, or it might take longer to get to wherever you want to end up career-wise. But being unhappy at a job, even if it pays you all the money in the world, is not worth it.
Yeah.
And people get stuck in jobs because they're making money. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh my God, I should have switched jobs, or I'm going to try to switch careers or go back to school. And it's so much harder to get back in the job industry and like start from scratch at
That's
that age.
True.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I just think from my own personal experience, I think if your gut is telling you that you're not happy, take the pay cut, look at your expenses and look at what you can cut and how you can still kind of live your lifestyle without being, you know.
Yeah.
But it's really important to be happy. I don't think money equates to happiness.
Dang, girl. I like your answer.
What would you do?
Well, so I like your answer, and I think that's the right one. But just me being me, I think I would go with the one for the money, at least for the time being.
Yeah. You have to be realistic at the end of the day.
Yeah. But I like your answer. I think your answer is the right one.
Yeah.
In theory, definitely. But life's hard.
Oh, man.
All right. The next game, it's had a name change. It was 5-2 in the beginning, but now I'm calling it 10-2 because
okay.
You and I are both going to come up with 5 random words.
Okay.
Let's do that first so I don't – you heard the game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
On the podcast. So basically we're going to have a list of 10 words, and the part that changed a little bit, we're going to make it a little more specific and say it's got to be a story about something in your life. But you don't have to use all 10 words. Just use as much as you can. Okay?
Okay.
So you go, give me 5 words.
Building, sky, wine bottle, avocado. It's all food. I'm like looking at stuff in my kitchen. Japan.
Oh, well, that you got a story there. All right. I'm going to do watch, vitamin, humidifier. Laundry. Blanket.
Oh, God.
I don't know. But here, I'm going to send you the list right now so you have it in front of you.
Okay. All right.
It can be something super casual, too. It doesn't have to be a deep story that matters.
But it has to be real? Or you can just make up whatever.
Let's make it real. Something in your life.
Okay. All right. I'll try it. I'll start. So I know it's really important to take vitamins, but I tend to always take them on an empty stomach.
Ew.
And there was one time where all I had was salad stuff. You know, I had lettuce and tomatoes and avocados. So I just made a salad with avocado, and I took, this is very smart, but I took all of my vitamins at the same time. and then like an hour later, I decided to have a glass of wine from my wine bottle. And I got deathly sick. So I had to, I curled up in a blanket and I was like shivering, and then I got really hot and, you know, had to turn on the humidifier. I was just like feeling awful. And of course I got sick and I threw up. So then I had to do my laundry, and yeah, then I just sat in my building and looked at the sky and reflected on my poor decision of taking all my vitamins at once. So yeah.
That was so good.
And that's a true story.
That is a true story. Awesome. Oh, man. I honestly don't know. Mine's going to be so lame. So this morning, I woke up and noticed that my humidifier had no water in it. And I actually noticed that last night. So I slept with the humidifier without any water in it, which sucked.
Did it even work like that? Is that even good for the machine?
No, it's not good for the machine, because if you're not using it, it can cause mold. So that would have been terrible. That's terrible. And then I went on a run later. I decided not to wear my watch because my watch is not in really good shape. Oh, speaking of which, I forgot to take my vitamins. Let me do that now with my glass of wine right in front of me that I also got out of my wine bottle. And there's a building right in front of my window, which is a high school. And I really hate it because it covers my view of anything but the school. This is not a story, Nick.
I know, you're telling me about your day, but still an interesting story.
Yeah. And also, I got this avocado pulp with one of my meal prep stuff 3 weeks ago.
And I today finally was like, sure, I'll try it. And I tasted it and it was so bad.
Ew. Like, really?
It was like sour and gross. Yeah, so I had to toss that. Wow, that was a really bad story.
Yeah, you hit most of the words, right?
You did great.
Oh, thanks.
So
thank you.
So yeah, hopefully my storytelling skills will get better as we go along.
Well, it's kind of a hard game though.
It is, but it gets the mind thinking, and your story was actually really good.
Thanks.
We'll see. I mean, I'm gonna try my best to like tighten up the game as much as possible, but I think it's a funny game.
Yeah. No, I mean, it puts people on the spot. Like, you do have to, like, really,
yeah.
I don't know, like, think and not think, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to the advice segment. I'm going to start calling it Ask Choi. Get it? Like, Ask Jeeves.
Like, ask what? Oh. That's very creative, Christine.
And it's a really old reference.
I know.
Okay, so here's the letter. Dear Christine, I just recently started dating a guy, and I really, really like him. However, none of my friends like him, and they all think there's something fishy about him. What do I do?
That's kind of a tough question, you know, because it's natural and it's normal to listen to your friends. You know, they know us best, and they have our best interests, obviously. But at the same time, when you're just starting to get to know someone that they don't know, you can tell them things about this person and, you know, maybe they heard things about this person or whatnot, but really at the end of the day, you should make your own choices, I think. I mean, I've done both where I've dated people that my friends didn't like and it didn't end that well, but then I've also listened to them and like let it kind of get to my head, I guess, and like Right. It's created problems between me and the guy.
Yeah.
That led to us not working, you know?
Right.
Example, if your friends are telling you like, oh, look at his Facebook or his Instagram, he's following all these girls, you know, he's probably playing you. Like in your head, that seed's already been planted.
Yeah.
In your head, you're already going to start having doubts about this guy and like being insecure. And then you're going to start looking at his page and you're making up this whole story that might not be true because your friends are just concerned looking out for you.
Yeah.
But I mean, it could go either way, you know, but I do think that especially now as I'm older, I think it's important to listen to your own feelings and your own heart. And right now, if I met a guy and my friends were telling me that, I would probably still keep seeing him until I saw something that really I didn't like, you know?
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that, on the second part, because if you just listen to your friends and stop seeing somebody, then you're gonna eventually wonder what could have been.
Yeah.
And you're gonna probably possibly resent your friends.
Yep.
When it came to my friends' boyfriends or new guy or whatever, I think I always had a pretty open, positive mind about it because you don't know until you try it.
Yeah.
And no matter how another person feels about it, you're not really gonna know until you've given it an honest try.
Yeah. Well, and other people don't know how your relationship is with that person.
Right.
Like when you're with someone and you spend time alone, like you talk about different things, you bond on a different level. They are not there to experience that with you. Like they don't know what your relationship is like. So they're just judging it based on the surface and what their observations are. They're not ever going to know why you like this person or why you guys have a relationship.
And also I think what's different is if you've been dating this guy for like a month, forget it. Don't listen to your friends. Now, if this is your boyfriend of like 5 years and everybody hates him, yeah, maybe look closer into what's wrong here because these people probably have been in your life way longer than this guy and that's a red flag. But in this situation, it's somebody they just started dating that they really like that nobody else likes. Give them a shot.
Yeah.
And your friends will come around.
Yeah. No, I agree. And like people change, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And if they somehow have heard something about their past, like, dude, the past is a past. There's very little that's not forgivable. And maybe that's me being a little naive, but hey, I'd rather be naive and trust somebody to begin with than to just be looking over my shoulders all the time, you know?
Yeah. I've been that girl that listens to what everyone else says and made really big decisions based on that. And at this point in my life, I will never do that again because not a lot of people can put themselves really in your shoes and think what's best for her.
Right.
So that's just me.
Well, great. I love that. Great advice.
Thanks.
Okay. You ready to get started on your interview?
Sure.
Okay, so tell me kind of about your childhood growing up, family dynamics, kind of being a child in Chile, might I add.
Okay. Well, I was born in Santiago, Chile. It's a pretty big city. It's one of the biggest cities in South America. And I lived there until I was about 10. My parents, even though we lived in the city, they always wanted us to have an upbringing, you know, where we were more surrounded by nature and like just, they wanted us to experience a more real lifestyle, right? Versus like living downtown and like the craziness.
Right.
So we lived on what's called a parcela in Spanish, but it's like kind of like a farm on the outskirts of the city. So I grew up with 8 dogs, a cat,
damn,
we had chickens. At one point, my dad brought home a lamb or a sheep or something, and my mom flipped out and was like, hell no, like those things have ticks. So anyway, but my dad was like, bring all these random animals, right?
So, oh, that's funny.
But I grew up just like playing in the mud and farm life, kind of.
Yeah.
I have 2 sisters. One is 1.5 years older than me, and then the other one is 3.5 years younger. So that was always a struggle for me growing up because I never had like my moment to shine. You know, I was always just, it was like,
oh, middle child.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
right.
And I think that's really been an issue my whole life. People who are middle child can relate here, where like the older one is always in the spotlight, right? Oh, you're getting so big, you know, oh, you're in kindergarten now. Oh, you're in the 2nd grade. Like,
right.
Whatever. Right. She's always like the first to do everything. So right. They make such a big deal about it. And then with the youngest one, it's like, oh, little baby, like, they're so cute. So they were always being showered with attention and, like, presents. And then for me, I always felt like I was the afterthought.
Uh-huh.
My way of kind of dealing with that was, like, I've always been very rebellious. So growing up, I was always, like, climbing up the walls. I was just constantly injuring myself, or, like, whatever my mom said I couldn't do, I would do it.
Awesome.
When I was a kid, I put my hand on a heater and I burned my hand, like, I would take any dare you would give me. Like, I wanted everyone to know that I stood out because I was awesome.
Yeah, that's cute.
So that was kind of my upbringing. I was always getting in trouble. But so yeah, so when we were 10, my mom started getting really bad asthma. So my dad sold his business in Santiago. And I didn't mention this. My dad comes from a pretty well-off family. So we were always going to all these clubs and, like, you know, just kind of my classmates in Santiago were literally like the daughter or the son of the ex-president.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I grew up in a very upper class environment in Santiago. And so when my dad sold his business, he made a big profit off of it. And he bought a house in this town on the coast called Viña. And he decided to build a factory, an agricultural factory in wine country in Chile.
Wow.
And so his 2 best friends were like, hey, you know, you have the money, we have the degrees and, like, you know, the experience to work with you and your company. So can we form a partnership? So my dad was really happy about it. These are his childhood friends, decided to build this factory. And one of them was like, yeah, the accountant, and then the other one was like the operations manager, and my dad was just the owner supervising everything. And the first couple of years were great. You know, my mom was a lot healthier, and living on the coast was amazing. It's really beautiful there. But after a couple of years, all of a sudden, my parents just out of nowhere were like, we're moving to Hawaii tomorrow.
Wow. Wow.
This actually happened on my 13th birthday.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was pretty insane, actually. And I just remember all of us were just like, what do you mean we're moving tomorrow? Why can't we just move in like 6 months? Or like, what's the rush? What's going on? You know, and the only thing I really remember is on my 13th birthday in the morning, a lawyer had come to our house.
What?
Like, after this lawyer came to our house, it just got super serious. My mom was really serious, upset. And literally by the end of the week, we were gone.
Whoa.
Packed up our whole life, got rid of our dogs, my entire upbringing, like,
oh, shit.
Gone, right? So we moved to Hawaii, and it was pretty crazy because my dad stayed in Chile. And that was the other odd part of the story. We were just like, why is, you know, we call him Papi, like Papa, but we were like, why is he not coming to Hawaii? You know, when is he coming? And my mom was like, oh, you know, he's just wrapping up things in Chile, like closing the business. Like, he'll be joining us soon. And this was literally the story that we got fed for almost a year.
Wow.
And it was hard. You know, we left this very privileged lifestyle and went to private schools, had 2 maids. Like, and moved to Hawaii, and we were living in a tiny one-bedroom house. My first day at a Hawaiian public school, I saw the girl that was my orientation person, like, punch another girl in the face.
Holy shit. I love that.
It was insane. And I was just, honestly, it was
a culture shock.
It was complete culture shock, and I took it really bad. It was really hard for me, and I became really bitter and angry at my mom. I thought it was my mom's fault, you know? I blamed her because my mom is American. I thought she's being selfish. Mm-hmm. And she wants us to live in the country. You know, it was just such a struggle living in Hawaii. And the other thing that was hard, which a lot of people don't really realize, is that Hawaii is reverse racist, right? So white people are really treated differently in Hawaii. Maybe it's not really visible when you go in there on vacation, but when you're living there and it's like your life, people don't even learn your name unless you really earn people's respect. Until you earn their respect, you're just white girl, Haole. I saw people getting beat up. I saw people like crazy, crazy stuff, right? And all this just kind of contributed to me becoming like more and more angry and resentful.
Oof, yeah.
The whole thing was just really traumatizing. And I was starting teenage years, you know, so I was just really angry, like bitter. And then it got worse because my dad finally did come back. He did join us in Hawaii after a year. And we found out that what really happened was that my dad's two best friends from the very beginning had been planning on stealing all of his money.
Oh, wow.
So from day one of their new business, they were like embezzling money to other other countries. And so my dad found out when that lawyer came that one of them was funneling money to Brazil. And the other one was funneling money to like Ecuador or something. And they both had literally left the country, picked up their families and packed up. Like my dad didn't find out until they were gone. And my dad was completely broke.
Oh my God.
Bankrupt with like people suing him because he wasn't paying his bills. So it was a mess. So you know, my parents didn't tell me any of this until maybe 2 years after we had been in Hawaii. And at that point, you know, those first 2 years were such like crucial years. You know, I was like 14, 15 years old. I walked into school, so you see people fighting. I see people screaming at me and calling me names. And that's from that point on, I think it's stuck with me. And it's something that I've carried with me, unfortunately, you know. And so my years in Hawaii in high school are, I have a lot of mixed feelings about it because I have some amazing memories and I made some really good friends. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to do things that I love. Like I learned how to surf and I learned how to play drums, you know. But there's a lot of things that happened in Hawaii that I really wish I could change. You know, like I started drinking in high school a lot.
Yeah.
I started hanging out with all the people who, like me, were really angry and like bitter. And from the beginning of my teenage years, it just put me on a bad track, on a bad path.
Right.
So when my parents moved to California, I was like, I'm not moving with you. Like, I'm finally free. I don't want to go with you. So my parents moved here and I stayed in Hawaii for another year.
How old were you then?
I was 18. So yeah, I mean, I was legally able to stay. And like, after a year, I came to visit them here. And it just happened that while I was here, my dad got into a car accident. And long story short, I ended up staying.
Yeah.
And that's how I ended up in California.
Wow. Okay. And that's San Diego?
No, Fremont.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, then I stayed in Fremont, and I at that point, you know, I had flunked a semester of college in Hawaii, and I wasn't doing well. I was still drinking a lot. So I thought, you know what, maybe this is a sign that I need to turn things around and like just move away from all these bad memories and people. And so I stayed in Fremont. I started going to school. I started working at a bookstore, you know, and just like typical 20s, you know, I was dating people and working and finished school. But, you know, unfortunately, some of the bad things that I picked up, I couldn't get rid of those habits. The drinking just was something that I kept doing throughout all of my college years. And, you know, I started working at a restaurant and people that work at restaurants all go out and drink every single night, you know, like
every single night.
And then I moved out of my parents and I started living with a girl who was a bartender. And that was even worse, you know. So like my last year in school, I did finish school. And I don't know how I pulled it off. I got good grades and I got my degree, but it's miraculous that I even finished school because at that point I was drinking every night and coming home after drinking at the bar and drinking at home with my bartender roommate, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much my story. I mean, regardless of all the ups and downs I've had though, I've always managed to like still work and like do well at my jobs. I think that's always been my saving grace. You know, it's like the one thing that I didn't mess up, which I almost did, but I didn't. And thank God, because now that I'm in my mid-30s, if I wouldn't have done that, I don't even know where I would be at right now. Like, it's just, but yeah, my life's been pretty amazing, and I've had some amazing experiences. I've traveled, and you know, my parents are very supportive, but I've also had some really, really bad lows.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, you see your parents go through stuff like that, and it just makes you really think twice about your decisions and who you should trust or not trust, or what kind of person you want to be. My dad, after all of what happened to him, he's still the nicest person, like so genuine, so sincere, friendly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look at him and I think if someone can go through all that and still be like such a genuinely good person,
right,
who always wants to believe in the better in people, then I have to follow that example, you know, and I have to strive to be like a good person. And there are going to be bad people out there, but you can't look at life like that, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, I mean, kind of going off on that, how do you think your personal relationships have been with people in general, just like friends or relationships? Because like you said, there are good people and there are bad people.
I mean, it's been a struggle, you know, my whole life, it's been a struggle. I think I have good relationships with most people. I think I like to think that people look at me and think I'm loyal and I'm trusting and I'm a good person, which I am, but it's been a struggle because I always second guess choices, you know, and when someone even makes a slight mistake, I've been really hard on people, and it's really not their fault, and it's not something that they did. It's because of what happened in my life growing up. And it's just something that I battle with, you know, it's a constant battle. I mean, even now I'm 36 years old and I am still dealing with it, you know, every day, every major decision I make, the people I allow into my life, I have to really think about it and be like, is this me making this decision or is this because of what happened, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I've definitely burned some bridges, which I regret. And, you know, I'm older now. I think I'm at a point now where the people that I did push away that didn't do anything to me, I'm really trying to like fix things, you know, and like reach out and tell them, you know,
how's that going?
It's going well. I mean, obviously some people don't want to forgive you, and there's people that don't think it's possible to change. You know, they don't think people can change. They don't think people can grow. And then there's people that just like me have been on these crazy journeys, you know, and the person that they are now is not who they were 10 years ago. And they understand where I'm coming from. And you know, maybe they don't let me in all the way, but at least the fact that they understand where I'm coming from and they're willing to talk and like sit down and listen is huge. I think right now I'm at this point where I'm like really trying to not just make peace with my past, but also just with myself. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point you just have to forgive yourself for the mistakes that you've made and just be like, you know what? I learned from it. I grew from it. I'm stronger, but I'm not going to ever let it dictate what happens from this moment forth, you know?
Yeah. Kind of going back to a lot of anger that you had and a lot of bad habits that you've had growing up and moving on to your adulthood, what were kind of the things that you would say really kind of hit you in the face that really changed your life?
Maybe like 3 years ago, I never would have wanted to have this conversation, but like I think the worst thing that I ever did was start drinking a lot. Most people use it as a coping method. I mean, we all do, right? We've all done it. We had a bad day, we go get a drink, you know? But to me, it was to the point where it was like every day, you know, like, oh, I'm tired, I'm gonna have a drink. Like, oh, I had a bad day, I'm gonna have a drink. Oh, I'm sad, I'm gonna have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a drink turned into two turned into three. And all of a sudden I was hanging out with people that would go out every night and buy like two bottles of Crown Royal. And that was like a normal night, you know, that was like a Thursday night. And then comes the weekend and I'm going out partying and like getting bottle service and hang out with all these crazy people that get drunk and like race home. And that was really like my lifestyle.
Oof, yeah.
I didn't realize how bad it was. And then unfortunately, in I think it was 2008, my grandmother passed away. My grandmother on my dad's side in Chile. And the way that we left and we got uprooted from our country and family, and I didn't get to spend a lot of time with her the last few years that she was around. So when she passed away, I went on this crazy weekend binge. And I remember it happened on like a Thursday or Friday. Mm-hmm. And I went out with my friends and, you know, they were like, you know, you need to get out of the house. We know you're upset. So we go to the bar and I wasn't driving that night. And they were like kept buying me shot after shot. And then all of a sudden it's 1 o'clock and they're mm-hmm. all wasted. Even the person who was supposed to be my designated driver. Oh. But again, these are my friends, right? These are the people I chose to hang out with. They're all people that drink too much.
Yeah.
They started getting tired and one of them wanted to go home. The other one wanted to see the boyfriend. So of course, I don't know. I always want to help everyone out. I ended up kind of like taking one for the team, right? I saw how messed up they were. And I was like, okay, they're all way worse than I am. So I guess I'll drive everybody home. Mm. I mean, I was so used to being drunk all the time that I didn't right. realize how drunk I was. And so
yeah.
I get in my friend's car and one of them's sleeping in the back seat. The other one's next to me, like talking about whatever. And we're flying down the freeway and all of a sudden I get pulled over and I'm going 95 Ugh. Miles per hour in Pleasanton. And yeah, so they all got to go home that night. I ended up in one of the worst jails in California for the entire weekend.
Oh my God.
You know, it was pretty insane. I was in one of those holding tanks with like prostitutes and drug addicts for probably about 10 hours.
Which jail was this?
This was in Santa Rita.
Oh my God.
So after about 10 hours of being held in a cell with all these people and with a toilet in the middle of the cell with a window facing you, they finally like registered me and put me in a jumpsuit and...
What?
Yeah. They put you in the jumpsuit. They put you in the jail cell. And then because it was a Friday night, I was there until Sunday. And the worst part of this whole thing is that my family had driven up from San Diego to spend the weekend together because of my grandmother. And they had no clue where I was, what happened to me. Like, I literally fell off the face of the earth because I, you know, I didn't know anybody's phone number. I didn't have it memorized and I didn't want to call anybody. And I was stuck in jail. So I finally called my sister on Sunday and she came to pick me up. And it was just like, I mean, no words can describe what I felt, you know, just disappointment in myself, like shame. And, you know, she took me to my sister's house where my whole family was. And my dad wouldn't even look at me. He was just like, you know, this is just embarrassing. Like, how could you do this to us? You know, like your grandmother passed away and this is what you do. It was just really hard. I had to go for DUI classes for a month and they revoked my license for a month. And then I had like a temporary license and literally paid thousands of dollars.
Right.
But I think that was a really big turning point for me because I got a lawyer. I very, like, vividly remember him telling me, Nicole, you seem like a really good person. You don't seem like the kind of person that usually ends up in these situations, and you have a good job. Like, you seem to have a really, really great family, but I'm going to be straight with you. And if you do this again, he's like, don't call me.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, this is it. Like, this is for real. There's nothing that you can do with money or whatever. Me, he's like,
right.
If it happens one more time, don't bother.
Yeah.
And between that and then when you're in jail, like, I mean, this is so embarrassing. I'm even talking about this, but I really hope that people get something out of this and understand that this stuff can happen to anybody. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter who you think you are. Like, I have a great job. Like, I have all these things that people on the surface think I have such an amazing life, right?
Yeah.
But no, like, my life's been really hard. And you know, I just want people to take from this that it can happen to anyone. And like when I was in jail, you get treated like you're nothing. You really realize that like at that point you have no control of your life. You know, it's funny because I was in jail and at one point I asked someone in my cell like, hey, like why aren't there any clocks anymore? Like what time is it?
Yeah.
And they were like, well, why would you need a clock?
Damn. Oof.
And that it's true. I mean, a lot of these people, like they don't turn around. They don't fix their lives. They don't learn from this stuff. And between that and my lawyer, I came out of this whole situation and I was just like, wow, I've been given another chance.
Yeah.
I need to change my life. Like, I need to fix my life. And so for a long time, I barely drank. I stopped hanging out with all those people and I started working out like crazy.
Yeah.
Every time I got off work and I still worked at restaurants, I would go to the gym at 2 o'clock in the morning because that was the only thing that kept me away from drinking. Like, I started getting so health conscious. And, you know, once you start getting healthy and you start ridding your life of those things, like, you don't want to go back.
Right.
And for me, like, the gym was like my savior. And it sounds silly, but
doesn't.
I mean, now it's been 8 years and I'm telling you that haunts me to this day. Like I've actually not been able to get jobs because of my DUIs.
Right. Yeah.
And even my job now, I mean, it's been 8 years and I had to wait for a month to be able to be cleared for my job. And even then they had to have the CEO waive my right. Like basically he had to sign off on it. I could have lost this amazing opportunity because of something that happened 8 years ago.
Yeah.
That's my story. It's been hard. And, you know, I think for a long time, the person I was trying to project on social media was this person that was just great and perfect. And look at me, I'm in shape and I'm so happy and I have all these things. And
right.
That's not me. So like now what I project is what's real. Like, and if people don't like it, then too bad, you know. I guess I'm just trying to like be upfront and be honest with myself and with everyone about what I am, who I am, what my life's been. And I don't hide it anymore. And I hope that when I talk to people about it, they take something from it. You know, like we're all going to make our own mistakes. And I've told people my story and literally 2 days later they get a DUI. But
right.
I just hope that there are people out there that listen and learn. And
yeah. And also just in knowing that, like, if you did make these kind of mistakes in the past, that you can turn things around. It might be harder, but it can be done. Because I feel like a lot of people kind of when they hit that, they think their life's over and they just kind of think they can't go back. But it's like, you know what? It might be hard work.
Yeah.
But if you just keep pushing through,
yeah,
you can accomplish anything, really.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to tell yourself, this is not who I am. Like, you can't allow something like that, whether it be alcohol or drugs or whatever it is, like, to dictate and control your whole life. Like, you only have one life to live, you know? And I think once you realize that you really do have control over the outcome, when you have that turning point, then that's all you need, you know? And then, yeah, it was really hard. I had to get 2 jobs. I mean, I'm still paying off debt right now because, you know, it set me on this path of debt upon debt because I was paying a lawyer. And then after I finished paying off the lawyer, I was paying off the DUI school. And then I was paying off my insurance, like, tripled. I mean, it's literally been like 7 years of paying off one debt after another, but I'm stronger. I've learned how to live a life where, you know, I work hard. I'm a fighter, you know? And I think if those things wouldn't have happened to me, I don't know who I would be, you know? I don't know. Maybe I would be that shallow person I was trying to project that I was. I have no idea.
No, that's great. What was your support system like throughout all that?
It was good. I mean, like I said, initially my family was devastated. And I think my parents to this day are like, don't talk about this. Like they think it's the worst thing ever. Like they don't even want me to tell my other family members at all. Like it's like nobody in my family knows about it. But internally amongst our family, they've been really supportive, you know, and like, and my sister was the one that found me this lawyer. And, you know, they, throughout these ups and downs the last like 6 years, because it's been an emotional roller coaster. You know, like I've had to see therapists. I've, you know, when you're trying to not drink and you're trying to clean up your life and you're literally like drowning in debt and drowning in stress and, you know, questioning everything that you've done and that you're doing, you really do need a lot of support so that you don't fall back on those habits. And I'm really lucky because the people that I surrounded myself with after that are just really amazing people. And that's why I'm friends with you, because like, no, but really, like, you've had like hardships too. You've had a lot of hardships too. And like, same thing, like, you're like, I'm way better than this. Like you don't take the mistakes and let them beat you down. Like, you've always conquered it and like fought for yourself and like,
Stop it.
No, but seriously, like, I feel like you and like my friends are really different. Mm-hmm. Like, all my friends are so different. But the one thing that you all have in common is that you're really good people. Mm-hmm. And like, you guys are fighters. And that's the kind of people I want to surround myself with. And that's the people I've been surrounded by since this happened. Like, and my family's like that too, you know, like just everything that happened to my parents, you know, like they just know that life throws you all these curveballs. And like, when they saw how hard it was for me, they stopped judging and they were like, they all came to my support, you know, and whatever they could do, you know, they had to pay some of it. And I've had to pay them back. I mean, it's been really hard, but you know, they stopped looking at me like I was like this horrible shame on our family. And they just realized that I made a mistake and they started really reflecting on it. I think they realized that like my childhood was really hard and, you know, it led to that. not that anybody blames themselves, but I think now, you know, they understand and they're even that much more proud of me now, because look at where I'm at now. And they're just like, they know how hard I'm going to fight to like better my life.
Absolutely.
You know?
No, that's great.
I think it's important for people to really, no matter what, believe that your family will be there for you, like when things get hard. I think with everyone, like your family will come through, you know, hopefully.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love that. Wow.
It's a very deep choices.
Yeah, no, that's good. As I mentioned before, really, these stories are really supposed to be of some sort of comfort for people because everybody has something, you know? Everybody goes through hardships. Rather it be lighter than this, heavier than this. But I think everybody just kind of sometimes need to hear other people going through stuff and how they overcame it.
Yeah.
And not feel like they're alone. And hear these things to reassure you that, no, just reach out to the people that love you.
Yeah.
Because they might be mad in the beginning, but no matter what, they want the best for you. So they are going to do everything in their power to help you through it.
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
No, I agree. The craziest thing about all of this is that when I started to withdraw from social media, people who I barely know have reached out to me and been like, you mentioned one time on Facebook that you've struggled with depression. Like, I'm going through really bad depression right now. I need to talk to someone who understands. Like you said, you know, I think just if there's someone out there that you think might have gone through something similar, even if you don't know them that well, take a chance and like, reach out, because I was really moved by it and I felt really honored that they would confide in me like that and like share with me what they're going through. And then all of a sudden I had someone else that could relate to me, you know, and like understood and knows what it's like and knows what it's like to go and see therapists or, you know, having such bad depression where you just want to stay in bed for a week. You know, it's like, you know, you realize that we all go through these things and you're not alone. It's not weird. Like, it's a part of life. Yeah. And I think it's amazing when you can face it and like you can bond with people on that level.
Yeah. So you mentioned depression. When specifically were you dealing with that, you think?
I think in the last 4 years I've had it.
Are you seeing somebody or are you?
No, not right now, because right now, I mean, I'm doing really well right now, but I did go and see a therapist last year. I mean, I think last year I hit a point where I hit a wall. For so many years I've been fighting and fighting and fighting and like doing all these things for myself, and all of a sudden I just like, you know, I switched careers. I felt very lost. You know, I was like, was this the right decision? Here I am living in the city and I took a huge pay cut. And I don't know that many people. And like, my life has just been a series of hardships. I just hit a wall and I locked my door and I got in my bed one day and that was it. I couldn't leave my room for a week. And at that point, I realized that this was like beyond my control. I needed to go and talk to someone. They were like, okay, well, let's just talk. If you want to just sit here for an hour and cry, let's cry. If you want to vent, let's vent. You know, whatever you want this time to be, let's make it what you want, whatever you want to get out of it, you know, and it did help. It did help to just talk or cry or whatever. And at the end of all these sessions, they would give me suggestions on what I could do when, you know, I was outside of therapy. So they were like, go to yoga, upload apps for breathing, like try to meditate before you go to bed. It was really helpful. I mean, it's like little things. And a lot of times you think, oh, that's so stupid. Like, that's not really going to help. But if you're really committed to fixing the problem, it does help.
Good.
But I'm good now.
Yeah.
Now I'm open to it. I'm open to talking about it. And I mean, it's surprising how many people have gone to therapists.
Yeah. Awesome. Where do you think you are like currently in your journey?
I think one long chapter is kind of ending and another is just starting. And I think for the first time in a long time, I don't really know where I'm going. And it's kind of refreshing, actually, because for so many years, I've just been trying to get myself out of being in the weeds, you know? It's kind of, I knew that for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I was going to be dealing with all these things, right? I wanted to change my career. So I had a very clear idea of what like 5, 6 years of my life were going to be like. Now I'm here. Like, I made it. I'm living in an apartment that I never dreamed that I would be able to live in. And I have an amazing job. I have amazing coworkers. I'm learning. I'm growing. They're pushing me. Like, all the things that I wanted career-wise in terms of where I live, I have it. I don't know where I'm going from here. I don't know if I'm going to stay here. I don't know if I'm going to meet someone here. Like, I really don't know, but it's really kind of refreshing to just, it's an awesome place to be able to wake up and just be like, my life is a question mark at this point, but it's going in a good direction.
Good. I love it. So how are you feeling today, physically, mentally, and spiritually?
Other than going to the dentist, other than that, I feel good, actually. I feel really good. I'm healthy. I'm happy. Emotionally, I feel light. If that makes sense.
Good. That makes so much sense. You don't even know how much sense it makes.
And I think some people don't believe me because they've just seen me so many times say, oh, I'm doing better. But like, I really do feel like I'm doing better. And I really do feel like this huge weight has been lifted. And I feel like I'm finally seeing things from a clear perspective. And I feel good. I feel like I'm also looking at myself and my flaws and like, I'm really actually trying to fix it. I know I'm not perfect and I know that I've made mistakes and yeah, I'm excited about the future and I want to travel more. So today, right now, I feel good.
Awesome. Tell me a little bit more about the effects working out and going to the gym has had on you.
Oh my God. For me, it's been amazing. It's a lifestyle for me. Right. Like I think, like I said, working out has saved me.
Yeah.
Working out has been life changing. It kept me away from drinking. I started hanging out with the people that are healthy and go to the gym and that are active. Yeah. And it changed my entire perspective on life. For me, health and fitness it's been life changing. And I encourage people. Like,
yeah.
I really tried to emphasize that it's not just about your body. It's about your mind and your mindset. And it's Absolutely. A commitment. It's like a relationship. You know, you yeah. have to be committed to your health. So work out.
I love that. Yes. Gym life. And it can totally be about your physical self too, because some people feel better when they look better.
Yeah.
So what do you think the biggest growth within yourself has been from when you were in your early 20s to now?
Oh gosh, that's a tough question. I think when I was younger, I blamed others. And I think now in my mid 30s, I can easily say I took part in that, or like that was my fault. Like I think I've grown and I like to think that I'm mature enough that I can look in the mirror and say I make mistakes or I've pushed people away or I've said hurtful things or whatever it may be. I think that's where I've grown the most, where I'm not fighting everybody. I'm not out to fight the world. I'm not trying to blame people. So I think the biggest thing that's changed from me being in my 20s to now is that I can acknowledge that it's not other people's fault. It's not anything else's fault. Mm-hmm. We all make our own choices in life.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Okay, let's just do a couple of closing questions just to kind of wrap up. What brings you the most joy right now?
What brings the most joy is just like knowing that things are getting better, not just for me, but for everybody. Yeah, like I think that brings me the most joy is I feel like in general, like I feel lighter. Like I feel like things are getting better. Like the future is bright. Like I do feel hopeful and excited. And, you know, for me personally, it's been a long time. So I think.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. To someone that's out there that might be going through something similar that you have gone through in the past, what would you say to them? And where would you recommend they start the healing process?
Don't doubt yourself so much. We always worry so much about what everyone thinks about us, but it's really important what you think about yourself. I think if you're going through something, rather than think, oh my God, people are going to judge me or this is embarrassing, don't doubt yourself so much. Just like sit down and calmly try to figure out like what's the best way to approach it.
Yeah.
I feel like some of my answers are a bit redundant, but I mean, that's...
No, they're great. No, you've been so good. Okay, so thank you so much, Nick, for spending your time with me today. I just wanted to say, just to sit down and talk to you today for this interview and to hear everything that you've gone through has given me like a whole additional amount of respect for you. I mean, and you know, I have a mountain and mountain of respect for you already. And love for you as well. But it never ceases to amaze me, like, how you don't give up. That's one of the things that's always stood out to me is about you, was that you really don't give up on yourself. And I think that's something that everybody can learn. And I just wanted to tell you that. And also thank you again for sharing all this with me and being so open about everything. With that said... thank you so much for joining me today. I love you. And I'll talk to you soon.
Love you too.
Okay. Bye, boo.
Bye.
Okay, guys. So there was another episode of Choices Podcast as my cutie pie Kobe jumps on my lap. Thank you again. And please don't forget to subscribe and rate and review on iTunes. And please send me letters for the advice segment to choicespodcast@gmail.com. Okay, well, I will see you guys next Thursday. Okay, thanks. Bye.